This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Big Spud! Big Spud!
Wow. She took the day off to take my cousin to the beach.
Oh, very nice.
What a
and
sacrifice.
Rebecca is home.
Nice.
And they go, you want to go to the beach? I'm like, I got to work.
You don't have it. I mean, you could have gone to the beach.
No, I... You missed it.
He hates the beach.
Oh, my goodness.
What did I miss? Yeah. You don't want to spend time with your family?
I don't want to go to the beach.
Yeah. Why? It's a lovely place.
For intangibles.
All right, dude. It's a lovely place. So you may get a little seaweed on your foot.
Oh.
Wait, Frog Boy, you live in seaweed. What are you talking about?
That hurts.
Exactly.
That hurts.
Exactly.
Don't downplay your living arrangements.
You know, just trying to be normal.
Headlines are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, choose for over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory, the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. And we are watching NFL free agency all around. I saw a report, Leroy. You see Kirk Cousins is going to Cleveland, apparently. That's the rumblings
really?
Out there. That's the word.
So that means that they're going to draft Travis Hunter.
I don't know. I figured I'd throw it out to you, see if you had heard anything from your Cleveland peeps.
No. Here's the deal. Travis Hunter would make a bigger impact. But if you sign Kirk Cousins, are you preparing yourself to go through another Deshaun Watson, but in a different way? Right, like you're giving a veteran.
I mean, he's not gonna make a lot of money because he's gonna get all that money from Atlanta.
Okay, all right. So let me. Do you bring in Kirk Cousins and then you draft a quarterback?
God, that would drive him nuts, huh?
I mean, not really.
You don't think Kirk Cousins, if he signed with Cleveland and then the next day they drafted Cam Ward, he'd be like, are you kidding me?
Because here's the deal.
What?
Kirk Cousins is not a long-term thing. He has to know that.
I don't think he did last year. Remember, all the reports were that he was blindsided by the Penix thing.
Blindsided. I mean, but keep in mind, he also was hurt and he kept it away from the team. All they saw was his performance.
What do you mean he was hurt and they kept it away from the team? We all saw that he tore his Achilles.
He had a hurt shoulder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And he kept it away from the team because he didn't want to lose his job. Then he started playing like crap and they replaced him. Mm. So I don't like when you have a bunch of needs, and here's what I'll say to that. When you have a bunch of needs, is it really a good idea to go quarterback and spend resources in free agency and then draft a quarterback when you could go one or the other and fill some other spaces?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I think if they're going to get Kirk Cousins, I think you're not drafting. Well, I guess we don't know if Cam Ward is going to fall to them, but you're not drafting Cam or Shador. So then you're going to need to do something in the wake of this Deshaun Watson thing.
If the plan is to, and if everybody has a plan of taking Travis Hunter, right, then I could see bringing Kirk Cousins in. So if they sign Kirk Cousins, my guess is that they would take Travis Hunter or trade down.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you don't know that, you know, it depends on like what you feel like about Travis Hunter, if he's good enough to do that.
I mean,
which I think most people do.
I would say he's always been up there. The pass rusher from Penn State just recently got into the mix as being a first pick.
Well, this is the kind of time we're in right now. Like it felt like we had our three guys that everybody was going to go to, and now everybody is starting to, what is this guy? I mean, there was like stuff over the internet that Shador was going to fall out of the first round over the weekend.
Yeah. Again, my only thing is that when you watch a lot of his highlights, and all I have is highlights, I don't have the daily grind or the game-to-game grind that I saw like I saw with Cam Ward. So my view of these two is going to be a little different because I've seen more of Cam Ward. But every replay that I've watched, he's thrown to one guy. And so how does that play into when teams look at, you know, a quarterback throwing to the Heisman Trophy winner?
I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like it was a caring job by Travis Hunter at all.
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying, okay. Like this has the makings of, and I can put it to just having a close experience with this, Dante Culpepper or Randy Moss. They got rid of Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper wasn't the same. Right? So how do you look at that? How do you look at those situations? There's certain guys that play quarterback that are aided by the fact that they're playing around great players. There's other quarterbacks who elevate. There's not a right or wrong to the success because in the end, the quarterback has success. But when you're deciding on a quarterback, do you have to take that into account? Because they did it with Josh Allen. Remember with Josh Allen, they said, yeah, he wasn't thrown to Division I players. Right? So well, his numbers.
He wasn't thrown to anybody because he was just missing.
Right. But so, like, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to look at that because normally in the cases of who's the first pick in the draft, most of the time, they come from pretty successful, you know, universities or colleges or whatever, right? You know, you look at the Joe Burrows. You look at, I mean, hell, you can, I mean, the last guys that I can think of who weren't that successful in college were Josh Allen, Jared Goff, and what's the quarterback that won the Super Bowl with the Eagles?
Nick Foles?
Not Nick Foles. The after him.
Oh, well, Wentz was a Division II guy. Yeah,
Wentz, he played. Right. He played San Diego. I mean, South Dakota North State. Dakota. Yeah. North Dakota State. And then, so I don't know how they evaluate these guys and how they grade them, you know, above one another based on that. I mean, how much success did Patrick Mahomes have in college? He was, their team was okay.
All right.
Right. So I don't know how they're looking at, you know, Shador and how they're looking at Cam Ward. Like, you can clearly see with Cam Ward, the team was good, the defense was terrible. You can say that unequivocally.
It's not even a question.
Right. Not even a question.
Not even a question.
Right. And then you have Shador throwing to the Heisman Trophy winner. So how much of that is him being accurate, making reads, or how much of that is Shador just being great?
And then plus you also have to deal with, like, you know, the headlines are going to be there all the time because of reaction, because he is Deion's son, where it's like Cam Ward's just Cam Ward. There is an element, like, Deion's going to be in the media. Deion's going to be asked about stuff. Deion could throw your franchise under the bus if he thinks they're stinking up the joint.
I think, you know, I'm not willing to say that. I think Deion understands the game and understands the league to not put his son in that situation, right? So
yeah, he's
pretty aware of how the league works.
He's aware of it, but I would say this: like, if, let's say, he went to the Browns, right, and Stefanski, like, you have to think about this. Like, if you're Stefanski and you draft Shador and you guys don't have a good year this year, then there's going to be all those callings of, well, Deion should take over at the Browns. I'm serious. Like, there's all, like, right. I do think if you're a coach, you have to realize that. Like, and especially, I guess he's going through some kind of contract dispute with Colorado right now. So if, like, he's eyeballing his next move, and it's going to be, well, basically wherever Shador goes. If I'm a head coach, I need to make sure I'm going to win with the guy, because his replacement is probably going to be publicly, you know, saying whatever there is, and there could be a call to bringing in the to bring in his father, because they've had success together.
Yeah, like, I get it. I understand it, but at the same time, I'm having a hard time believing that. I don't care how great your father was, that you can have that much impact on an organization. I think it has to do more with your play. And I think Deion wants his son to be able to walk on his own two feet, right? To be able to stand on his own two feet. And if he keeps, you know, wouldn't he make it more difficult for Shador?
It's tough to say, because we see all the time, we talk about if he's put into a bad system, like, I don't know, if he goes to Cleveland or the Giants and it doesn't work out just because they're a disaster and the Giants are already on the outs. Like, yeah, I think there's going to be a drumbeat of Deion Sanders in New York taking over for Brian Daboll, because they're already on their last legs as it is. And it's one thing to have a famous father. It's another thing to have a famous father who's really, really, really good at the media game.
Right.
And he's going to be so captivated. He's going to have everybody eating out of the palm of his hand. And I think that, yeah, if Shador goes somewhere, if he does get drafted that high, which I don't know that he will, but if he does, and it's a disaster just because he got drafted to a bad franchise, this was kind of all of the thing that was put out there before, right? Where he was going to pull the Eli Manning, the Archie Manning of, like, dictating where his son was going to go. Well, the next play is, well, maybe he doesn't do that, but we go to a place, it's on last legs, and then all of a sudden Colorado ups into the NFL, because he's kind of been there, done that, and they don't want to pay him what he thinks he's worth at Colorado.
Hell, I had to cut my own son.
Hey, Doc.
So, hey, business is business. You got to do what you got to do. I love my boy. I had to do it. So, well, as much as I would like to side with Deion and his son, if Deion moves to NFL, business is business.
Leroy, speaking of business is business. Liv, tell all the people of the business going on there with Liv Golf coming back down to Miami.
Oh, yeah. You know we like to party. How about a little party on the golf course? Liv Golf is coming back, and it's not just big, it's a monster. Liv Golf returns to Trump National Doral April 4th through the 6th, and because it's the Blue Monster, they're going big. Join some of the giants of the game and John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Sergio Garcia won last week. He'll be there. They have a huge DJ set, epic street food, and ska punk legend Sublime headlining on Saturday night. Grab your tickets at livegolf.com. That's livegolf.com.
It's our number 2-0 with Tobin and Leroy.
Lord, Jason made another one.
Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM.
I go where I want. Good.
Going to talk to Omar Kelly. Good to join us, Froggy, later on today's show.
Yes, sir. Around 12:30.
Omar's going to stop by next hour. We'll talk a little Dolphins free agency with him. I was just seeing from Barry Jackson, Leroy, that the Dolphins, the one place they've definitely been quiet with thus far has been defensive line. Haven't really done anything there. And apparently, according to Barry Jackson, the Dolphins really want Calais Campbell back. It's one reason that they haven't dipped into the high-priced defensive line market to find somebody to play with Zach Sealer. Not sure where Calais is on his decision-making process. So,
I mean, he's where 30. You know what he did? Here's what Calais Campbell has done. He has earned the right to take his time.
He took his time last year. I mean, that was a pretty late signing for the Dolphins. And man, they got lucky that he was as good as he was at his
age. We're still hungry.
That's right.
Which is amazing that teams did not want to pay him.
Right? It is crazy, right?
It's really crazy.
And what are the Dolphins? I mean, I can't imagine he's going to do another. Didn't he sign for the minimum last year?
I don't know.
I think he signed for real cheap, dude.
I mean, put it this way. He was more important to this team than Joey Bosa was to any team. And Joey Bosa got $12 million. So right. If he's sitting back looking at all the D linemen and what they're getting and the contracts that they're getting. If he only made $2 million last year, you think it's going to cost you $5 or $6 or $7 to get him back for one more year?
Yeah, got to think, right? Like, right. You got to feel like it's got to be a little sweetener, right? He signed a one-year, $2 million deal with the Dolphins last year, $800,000 signing bonus.
It's got to be, like, at a minimum, here's what I would say. Give him $2 million up front, $6 million, right? I mean, that's where it's got to start, because here's the problem. What you asked him to do versus what we thought he was going to do.
Right.
He far and exceeded anything that you wanted of him and his production. So he needs to be rewarded for that. He's been playing long enough that if it's not enticing enough, he'll just say, I'm good.
Calais, Karen says, Calais deserves a Super Bowl contender, not the Fins. Look, I'm not going to disagree with you. If I was him and you know that he wants that ring, he could certainly, you know, I mean, hell, hop onto any NFC North team or who knows? I mean, Philly's got a ton of free agents. I don't know where he'd want to go, but
I'm sure there is a little bit of stuff that brings him to wanting to be on this team because, you know, look, he could have made a stink last year and gotten out. He didn't. He did stick it through the entire way. So, I mean, yeah, maybe he really likes it. And I mean, Zach Sealer's eyes are dreamy. So, you know, you look to him, you know, it's, you know, he's like, don't leave me like Christian Wilkins did, please. And then, you know.
First of all, does he have to determine whether he's going to play?
Of course, right? One would think.
Then determine where.
And when is that decision for a 38-year-old? Like, when, what is that August 1st when you decide?
That decision is going to be that decision. If I am a team, though, I do go to him and say this. We're going to compensate you. But we just need to know if we're going to use this money on you or go get somebody else because there's slim pickings out there.
Right.
So it's one thing to have the $6 million to give to Calais, but he's about the only guy you give that $6 million to. You see what I'm saying?
For sure. For where he stands with the team and what he did with the team last year.
Right.
And you got to feel like, you know, you're probably getting a little sweetener from him, but yeah, you got to make that right. That was crazy what he did last year on that deal.
Pretty much.
He's a giant.
Yeah.
I like his voice. I would love that. I don't want to lose him.
Yeah. He did yesterday, I think, who was it? It was Cap for Life that mentioned his name in the chat. So I did some research to see, but we didn't find anything on Twitter. But on his Instagram, he actually released something on his story, which leads he may be coming back to Miami. This is what he said.
I see trees of green.
Got me really excited. I can't believe I fell for it. He gets me with that bit every time.
Still good.
Cap for Life says, bro, I never mentioned Calais. I said Elijah Campbell. You just said Campbell, dude. Oh. And you want to know something? All respect to Elijah Campbell. That's not the first place my mind went.
Right.
Did he say Elijah? Wait,
what the hell?
You think I'm gonna think of utility defensive back on special teams, Elijah Campbell, when you said Campbell?
Okay.
Of course I'm thinking Calais.
That comes to mind first.
Worth it.
Definitely not. But either way, it would be cool to get him back. But that definitely is a note. If he doesn't, I mean, I don't know what they do. Maybe then maybe you got to go ugly on the other side of the board in this draft.
I think I forgot who it was this morning. It was Joe Rose, but they were mentioning his value goes beyond the football field. That locker room is kind of broken right now. And they need veterans like Calais Campbell, Teron Armstead and stuff to fall in line. To make sure that everyone else has like who's the culture for the Miami Dolphins right now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I understand that. I'm not dismissing that, but here's the thing: is like he was there last year, and there were still problems. Like it's not like there were if there are locker room problems, and it happened with him there, then I don't really understand. I don't know if that's necessarily the thing. I'm just genuinely saying, like, no, the guy's still a good player. He's a freak at his age that he's a monster,
right.
and he can produce for you. There it is.
I think part of it is. You can't go to a new team and just take over like that when they have veterans on the team. So to say that he's not a leader is a bit unfair to, you know, how you go to a new team.
No, I'm saying he is. He's very clearly a leader. I'm just saying, even with him being a leader, there was still like all those things of, oh, there was tardiness problems and everything. So I don't necessarily know. I'm just saying the locker room is. I don't know if the locker room is going to make or break with Calais Campbell, but I do know the defense is not going to. If they don't have a suitable replacement for him, a defense that statistically was good, even though they didn't make the big turnover plays last year, they were rock steady, and he was a huge reason for that. And right. If you don't have him, you better have a damn replacement for him and some kind of plan for him, because
there is no replacement for him. There's none of those guys available. They're just not available right now. That's part of the problem with this whole situation is that, okay, if Calais retires or Calais decides to go somewhere else, right? Who out there is like that? Who's going to give you the production Calais Campbell did? You're hoping maybe Agba? Move him inside? Right. So, when you have that type of demand on a player that is unique to what you need from that position, then that guy needs to be compensated. As simple as that.
No, of course. He definitely deserves his money. I don't know what it's going to take to convince. I'm sure there's a number that also is like a non-walking away point for him, too, where he's like,
Deshaun Watson would have never played in Cleveland.
Yeah. We'll take a break here on the show. Mix things up on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. Leroy.
What's up?
Can we get a weather update from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm? YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultation 24/7. Call them at 866-954. More. Very brisk this morning when you woke up.
Yeah. What a beautiful day, though.
In the neighborhood.
I'm not sure if it's like beach water day.
Well, lost my mic. Oh, or no. I lost my headphones.
My mic. There goes.
Right, pros pro. Right.
Well, hey, man.
What?
Oh. The winds are relatively calm right now. I'll say 5 to 10 miles an hour. Not a cloud in the sky. I'm going to guess the winds are coming somewhere out of the north, maybe northwest. I can't really tell because there's nothing moving. And I'm going to say it's 75, 80 degrees with no chance of rain and a really pleasant day.
Wow. How do you do, Frog Boy?
He is correct. sunny right now is what the weather is listed at. 77 degrees, winds out of the east southeast at 10 miles per hour, which means it will be warming up.
Ooh, southeast.
But you are still looking at a low of 59 today and waking up tomorrow to 65 degree weather.
There you go. That is our weather report from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, your axeattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Call them at 866-954-MORE. 866-954. J Fig, you took the number away. 6673.
Boom.
Boom.
Frog Boy.
Yes, sir.
Would you care to mix it on up?
Indubitably, sir.
The Mix Bag is brought to you by Art God Savvy's new album.
Yes, that's right.
Go up, Peter Pan.
Available on all platforms.
Is that the name of the album or is that just a single?
That's just a single, but it's fine. I'll take any listen I can get.
What is the name of the album?
The album is going to be called Chronicles of the Frog.
Pretty good. You need to have, like, you know, like one of those things where, like, that's like your signature. It should be the croak. Well, nobody has that.
No one.
Yeah. So, like, right before the single starts, it's like, ribbit. And everybody knows.
You know, I'm sure that was a bit of a bit, but from now on, you will now hear croaks in every one of my songs.
I'm not doing a bit. No, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, give me like a, you know, like a, what is it, Rick Ross? He's got the Maybach music,
correct,
girl.
Correct, correct.
Everybody knows that's a, that. Oh, all right. It's a Rick Ross song about to start. You need your own thing that starts off a day.
That's right. Lil Wayne has a lighter flick.
Exactly. Dude, that could be your Lil Wayne lighter flick.
Come on, dude. Just like the beat drops and then you just hear it. Whoa!
Who thought that bunny was going to be a thing?
Come on.
Art Frog Savvy could be a thing.
We did it, baby. We did it.
What do you got for us, buddy?
I am going to begin teetering the line of copyright infringement, sir. I got photos available to avoid any sort of mishap. But what I want to explain today is the miraculous 4-point play to end the Pacers versus Milwaukee game. Leroy, did you catch that by any chance?
No, I didn't. I just saw it on the scroll.
So it was something that I want your opinion on because it combines your world with the world of basketball in that football plays are making their way to the NBA. The Pacers put together, you can see from this diagram here, a hell of a play to end the last game there. You have multiple routes. I don't know which one's the X, the Y. Are they in shotgun? Who knows? Who really knows what's going
on? Wait, but look at the secondary.
Confused. As a, you know, I think they're running like a 3-2 right now. I don't know. You know, it's just strange.
Well, that safety's got to get deep.
Now,
if the Heat are drawing up NFL plays with their offense, it's probably like the wishbone. That's how they're running things right now.
Yeah, they do this and Duncan's out of bounds. That's what's going to happen. It ended in this beautiful 3-point, actually 4-point play by Tyrese Halliburton.
He ended it was crazy.
It really was like, you know, a great design play, but at the end of it was an amazing shot.
Look how high he got.
Yeah, he was definitely. He was
already, what, 6'8"?
He's kind of got like a sneaky ownership over the Bucks, doesn't he? I feel like he always beats the Bucks. Remember, he was mocking Damian Lillard last year with the Dame time.
That's true.
Like, I feel like he's kind of got like a Trae Young Knicks thing going on, where he just always seems to beat the Bucks.
I didn't even think of that.
Except he's tall.
Yeah.
Who? Tyrese Halliburton?
Yeah.
I mean, he's taller than Trae. I don't think he's 6'8". I think you're taking liberties. I don't think he's that tall.
Now I need to see.
6'5".
Not tall enough to play in the U.S.
I mean, so how tall is Giannis?
Giannis is 6'10", 6'11".
Okay. Look at that picture again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Giannis 6'11". Jeez. That is
6'11". Look at that picture. Look at where Halliburton is over Giannis.
Well, he like, I don't even think, just play the video, Marcos. Who cares? Like, let's
Woo,
play the video. Because like, he kind of like sighed. He's like falling away. It was an incredible shot.
Look at us.
It was an incredible shot yesterday.
I'm actually proud of us. This is the video
for an NFL player.
Like final play here, corner, boom.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. You got these four people in the front. He runs to the corner. He shoots it. And,
what a play.
You know, obviously a really good play. But now.
Must be cool for your player to hit a game winner, huh? I don't know what that's like.
Okay. Okay. A little bit of sadness there. Understandable.
I apologize.
But
I see what they were doing there, though. That is cool. I like that. They're all like in a little route tree.
This all actually stems from flag football, though, as in an attempt that failed earlier on in the season, Pacers coach Rick Carlisle explained where this came from, and somehow the WNBA and flag football is the reason why this now exists. This is the coach.
Secondly, after the game the other night, I was asked about the last play, which was an unusual-looking play that got us a pretty good look at a three-point shot. And I said, I misspoke and said that it was a play that Mike Weiner had come up with. Mike came to me after the game and insisted that I correct that. It was a play that Jenny Busick came up with. It's an interesting story. It was born of experience she had playing flag football back quite a while ago. And her and Sue Bird had talked about that concept of play, you know, using some football-type concepts to try to get a good look late in the game. And so, you know, interesting how, you know, some real WNBA influence here on our game.
Wow.
It's basically a pick play.
Yeah, for sure. And you notice right-handed shooter.
The guy's going up. The guy's going behind him. His guy can't get around. He's in chase mode. You're going to get an open shot.
Cheating.
Now, what's incredible is I haven't seen him miss it yet. I mean, they showed two instances where they ran it, and the guy makes an incredible shot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a little bit of football and basketball yesterday. Now, from that super cool thing to Miami Heat. Eric Spoelstra finally gets real. He finally gets real.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the losses and how some of these losses really have no explanation, although I'm sure Toby can find one.
I'd embrace just the competition. Embrace like how competitive, you know, these games are. I mentioned it, I believe, to you guys, but also to the team, that when they're preparing in July and August, you know, they're not preparing for blowout games either direction. You're preparing, you know, for these moments of pressure and context of games where there's meaning to it. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have it where all right, the game doesn't mean anything, and then you play well. I mean, to have those kind of moments where it is exhilarating when you do get a win, there also has to be a consequence and feeling when you don't. And there's a deeper feeling right now with this locker room. The group really cares. You know, it's some of these games you just can't even explain. We'll get to work and try to fix it. You know, the things that are obvious, and there's things that are just happening.
All right, dude. Just happening to us. And I don't know how it happens.
I mean, there definitely have been ones where it's like, as Coach Tony said, there's definitely a snake-bittedness to this season. Like, there's been some inexplicable losses. You're like, you know, your coach forgetting how many timeouts he had.
Can I say this?
Okay.
Can I finish my point and then you do it?
Sure.
Oh.
But, you know, like, if it keeps happening, and it's a habit that keeps happening, like, you know, to just tape people, oopsies, that's just how it's going this year. Like, come on, dude. Like, what am I just supposed to? I'm just supposed to throw that up to chance? Like, no dice.
I would say no dice, because if you say we train and we prepare for these moments, then why every time you get in these moments, you look lost?
How many does it take?
Why, when you get in these moments, somebody chucks up a three from the logo? And why do you insist on, you know, like, not having the guys who are
Tyler
playing the best at
Tyler
that
said
moment?
Something. Yeah, like Tyler said something at the after the game the other day where he was like, you know, I'm just learning how to run things, you know, in these moments. I'm like, dude, you've been in the league for 6 years. You're learning. Like, this is not it's not like you've never had the ball in your hands at the end of games.
Can I just say something to that?
Hmm?
You didn't tell the Heat that when they offered you that maximum contract. You were like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be the guy.
Obviously, trying to find the right combination is one thing, but, you know, going down the stretch in the fourth quarter, a lot of the responsibility is on me and Bam to make the right play, whether it's for ourselves or for a teammate. And I have to be a lot better, you know, going down the stretch. You know, not even just making shots, just taking care of the ball, getting the guys in the right spots. It's all a learning curve for me, and I'm learning as I'm doing it, and we continue to get better as I always do.
Nope.
No. You okay?
Nope. Nope. Got me about to catch a case up over here with this nonsense, right? Like, look, and I asked Coach about it. To me, this seems like situations that have always worked out for the Heat, and now they're not. And instead of changing it, you just keep going with it. So, for example, me. In this situation right now, I'm putting Kalel on the floor and I'm yelling at him and I'm coaching him up. You know why? Because I don't want to go through it again next year. And you see where you are. Get it out your system now so that when it turns around, and it could turn around this year, maybe there's a 10,000 rep type situation here. That a big figures it out when he's gone through this situation X amount of times.
Mm-hmm.
And by prolonging that, you're almost frustrating yourself even more because you're putting him in situations that he's trying to learn in and get mad at him because he doesn't do it right.
Mr. Grip says, at least he's owning up to his dog bleep decision-making, shot-making, and dribbling at the end of games. I mean, it's accountable, but I mean,
he got
like
his lunch money taken once. He shot a logo three once.
Oh, that one he took the one that drove me, the one against the Knicks when they were up, and then he shoots the three. I'm just like, no. It's not like I don't trust Tyler Hero to hit big shots, but it is a noting of the time and place.
It almost seems like they have situations in games that if they just dribble the ball and let the 24-second clock run out, they'd have a better chance of winning.
Ricardo says, 7 years in and he's still on a learning curve. Grow up, Peter Pan.
Well, let me say this. And here's where we've all gotten kind of spoiled with this sport. A basketball player doesn't get into his prime until he's 26, 27. There have been players that have had success before that. So I understand that. But the theory, the rule is that your prime basketball career is around your sixth or seventh year, or, you know, 26 years old, 27 years old. That's, you know, that's how a majority of these things work out. I hate, you know, we want these guys because we see them have success early, but to some extent, I do understand what Tyler's saying. That being said, the one thing, if you're going to be that guy, you have to be the most aware of your situation and what is needed from you. And chucking up an early three is probably not conducive to running some offense. And I think that's what he needs to be aware of. I think a lot of guys on the court, they teams start scoring a bunch of points and they think, I got to hurry up and score. And it's actually the best time to run a good set, to move the ball, get a great shot, and go from there. instead of a lot of in the shot clock.
Yeah, and I think he's shown, like we've seen in these games, I think he's shown ability in games to make good decisions, to set up his teammates.
Absolutely.
But it's just
gotten more when things are going good. And to be in that role, somebody needs to let him know we actually need it more when things are going bad.
Frog Boy, what else you got for us?
Stephen A. is apparently not done talking about his altercation or confrontation.
Oh, my God. I got to be honest with you, too. I'll hear from him in a second. I am so mad at LeBron James for confronting him because we're never going to hear the end of this stupid Stephen A. Smith on this confrontation. Like, I understand LeBron having to do it, but God, I wish he just didn't do it in public now because Stephen A. has not shut up about it. Here you go. Go ahead.
This is him on Gil's Arena complaining about it.
Oh, no.
My son. No, I wasn't. Let's talk about you. I was talking about you. Wasn't about your son. I know he's number 55. I know he got work to do. Woo. I believe that he got potential.
Yeah.
I believe that he got the potential to go pro. I truly believe that. It's going to be tough, but I think he could pull it off. And by the way, I'm rooting for him. I ain't rooting against nobody. But I was talking about your ass. You did this. Mm-hmm. You the one that had us as reporters, as a league, as an NBA franchise. All of us got to sit back and be quiet and capitulate to your
I don't think he said any of that to his face, though, did he?
That's the thing. That is the thing.
He like, reanimated 2 weeks later.
Right.
He said it in Gil's Arena, but he didn't say it at Crypto.com Arena.
Did not.
I just think, like, LeBron has said what he had to say, and then he moved on.
This is very, very short.
Right? I don't get mad at no man defending his kid. Right? And Stephen A. started his original conversation by acknowledging that. And now he's on a rant.
Now he's gassed up.
Right. Like
now he's gassed up about it.
Well, LeBron didn't say nothing else.
Nope.
You just keep going.
That's why I'm mad at LeBron.
Yeah. So I would say that sounds like somebody got a little space rent free.
That's
right. If you're still going with it and that guy hasn't responded or nothing. Right?
Man. That is the mixed bag. We'll take a break, get you caught up with your headlines. Back with more after this.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.